52 still line, and some of those lines are half the size of what they should be because of all the buildup on the steel line. So I think they tested it yesterday, but I haven't heard anything. So we need to touch base on that one, just to make sure that we're good. But I think that's the big stuff. And then there's some further information on there. If you have questions on it, let me know. It's pretty straightforward. But let's see,
So
easements. If
the notes you mentioned, were they for the utility plan or were they for the actual site development plan?
it'd be for the utility plan, they're my note 4C. Just copy paste those on the utility plan. Yeah, it's just to work with cross connections and our pretreatment. Probably beforehand, you know what I mean? See what's required for the site, and I'm sure you guys do this enough to know that, but we want the contractor to also know that. And then I added a note to include information about the steel line on there too, so
Yep, we can add
that'll be
those.
good. And then if you end up having to do a large meter vault, I put the easement requirements on my notes. So that's it for me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Code enforcement. Jeff Palmer, are you there? Okay, we'll go back. Oh, there you are.
I apologize for unexpected delays this morning. This is Jeff Palmer with Code Enforcement. The property is zoned MXH and is located within an area of change in a major transit corridor within the East Gateway area. Regarding the parking provided, although the spaces provided appear to be adequate, excuse me, the parking reductions are not calculated correctly. So please adjust and correct those accordingly. You can reference my quick calculations below, but please do your own. Make sure I didn't make some sort of mathematical error there. Parking spaces required by my calculation per IDO table 551. The required parking spaces is 1.2 spaces per bedroom times 72 units is 86. 1.6 per two-bedroom dwelling unit. 16 spaces total required parking, 102 spaces. I think you had worked off of 1.5. The parking reduction credits, each EV charging station gives credit for two spaces, and I only saw four EV stations, so that would be eight spaces. And per IDO 55C5A in an MT in the major transit corridor in an area of change, you are allowed the 20% reduction of the required. Is 21 spaces, and per IDO 55C4B within 330 feet of a transit stop with adequate runs of 15 or 45 minutes is 10% reduction or 11 spaces. So the total parking reductions comes up to 40 spaces. So 102 less the total reductions of 40 by my count is 62 spaces. I think you're showing 66. So we still should be good, but you just need to get those corrected and make sure I didn't miss something. Also, the total motorcycle parking spaces is insufficient. Three spaces are required for 60 spaces per IDO table 554. So double check all the parking against the current tables. It looks like maybe you had gone off the previous IDO and or other calculations. The usable open space calculations need to be corrected as well, and the total usable open space provided is not shown. The total usable open space required must be adjusted to match IDO table 51D. One bedroom dwelling unit is 225 square feet per unit. Two bedroom dwelling unit is 285 square feet per unit. If you multiply those out and add them together, it comes up to total required usable open space of 19,725 square feet. Building design must meet all the requirements of IDO 511D for multifamily residential development. The portions of that I think particularly apply in 511D 2A1, A2, and A3 A1 is show how ground floor percent of transparent windows and doors of street-facing facade is meeting the requirements. A2 is add a note indicating all exterior windows on upper floors will meet the requirements of recessed or projected minimum of 2 inches and a minimum 2-inch window casing. And A3 is indicate how windows on the west side are meeting requirements of heat mitigation features. Signage must meet requirements of IDO 512 signs and keep in mind the East Gateway area. And that's all the comments I have at this time, but would appreciate your taking a look at that. And I have those details in my notes as well.
Yes, absolutely. And I agree, we used the wrong version to calculate some of these parking requirements. So we're working on updating those. We do still comply, but and I will add notes to show compliance for building design and signage as well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anthony, let me just ask you for a second. Sure. Are the motorcycle spaces an issue for you all? I don't know how many senior
we're showing two
residents
right now.
Show come on motors use motorcycles, but
right.
Maybe a lot.
I don't think it's very common. And like this is a senior living community. Right. We do show two motorcycle spaces now. It's absolutely required. We can probably find a spot for a third one, but this site is very, very tight. And so we were already struggling to get the required parking and everything in there.
Right.
As is.
Yeah. So yeah, go ahead and talk to us if,
okay.
if that motorcycle thing or the bicycle parking does have a caveat for in the IDO for, you know, being able to look at feasibility, et cetera. Motorcycle is less so, but let us know if that's an issue. And
thank
then
you.
The bicycle parking, is that, I don't think that was an issue on your site plan, correct?
We were showing, a pretty significant surplus of bicycle parking at this time.
That appeared to be sufficient, if I may interject.
Okay.
And I hear what you're saying as far as the motorcycle parking. Keep in mind that that's also people that are coming to visit as well. And unfortunately, we don't have a lot of leeway there in the way it's written in the IDO, but we'll do what we can to work with you in some regards. If it comes down to that, with having the additional parking spaces, it looks like you may have some space to work that in. So if you just calculate that all together and see, and I think you'll come out.
Yeah, absolutely. If we run into a major issue, I'll let you all know, but I think we'll find one more spot.
Okay, Parks and Rec. Whitney, are you there? Okay, maybe we'll come back for Whitney. Just for everyone, Ernest Armijo is going to do hydrology comments and transportation comments this morning. So take it away, Ernest.
Ernest Armijo, hydrology. Hydrology has an approved conceptual grading and drainage plan with engineer stamp date of July 21st, 2023. Hydrology has no objection to the site plan. That's it. I'll just move straight into transportation. So transportation has an approved TCL dated September 8th, 2023. We have no objection. I will make a note that if you have to adjust the parking based on what code enforcement said, just send us a revised TCL. It doesn't have to go through the full submittal process. Just send it in saying this one is revised to show these minor changes. That way we can replace it in our files.
Sounds good. Will do. Thank you.
Okay. And Whitney Phelan has just informed me that she's having some issues with her mic, but Parks and Recreation has no comments on the site plan. And while we're on transportation, what is the sidewalk width on Central? And are we maintaining the existing sidewalk, Anthony?
No, we're replacing it. We have a little over a 7-foot landscape buffer between the back of curb and the new sidewalk, and the new sidewalk is 6 feet wide. Okay. So I think the DPM requirement was 6 and 6.
Yeah, I think minimum of 6 for a major transit area. So I just wanted to double check that. Okay, let's go to planning comments. Hannah?
Hello, this is Hannah with planning. I'm going to start with landscaping comments. I wanted to, if you guys can provide an explanation regarding the plant palette and how it complies with the IDO 54A4, 56A4, I apologize. And then also the plant material quantities, mature size, and level of water consumption were missing from the landscape plan. If you can add those in, please. A correction to the tree planting detail is required that I have included in my comments. So for trees and shrubs that you have in the side triangles, for the shrubs, I needed to look at the mature size. So if you can add that to the plant legend, that will be helpful. Trees were okay. I checked and at 2-inch caliper, they will be higher than 8 feet. So that would be okay. There were some notes that we asked that you add to the notes on your landscape plan. And then also there is an overhead distribution electric power lines on the site. And I'm seeing trees planted very close to that. If that's going to remain in the same location, it's on the north of your site, then we will need to move the trees away from the power lines. I'm not sure if that's something that you guys are looking to relocate, then PNM needs to be notified and it needs to be discussed with them. But if you can clarify on that and or move the trees away from the power lines, that will be great. And then project and application numbers need to be added to the site plan set. We have asked for clarification of landscaping in the parking lot areas, the area of tree planters, and whether or not they comply with the IDO. And then the building design, Jeff mentioned those comments. And I also wanted to ask regarding the color palette that you've selected for the facade, because I saw a lot of gray. I just wanted to know if there were a specific reason for picking those colors. Also, we will need to have photos of neighborhood sign postings. If you can provide those, that will be great. And then I wanted to make sure that an infrastructure list was not submitted with the site plan. And the rest of my comments were minor items that I think were clear enough. If you have any questions, I would provide answers for you. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Just to respond to a couple of them real quick, we'll relocate the trees away from the power lines. We have the 10 feet. I think you just mentioned it was a 10-foot clearance requirement from that easement. So, but we'll move them away.
Okay.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I just wanted to say, I'm not sure if it's the 10-foot clearance from the overhead, but I will have to ask PNM about that. I can let you know, but for sure, no trees should be planted close to those.
Yeah. Okay. That sounds great. There is no infrastructure list, being submitted with this application. I don't believe one is required for this. We just have a couple connection permits, I believe they're called now, for our utility connections. All the other comments with regard to the color palette and the facade design, that's intended to mimic Luminaria, if you're familiar with that project across the street. So that's kind of the intention behind the design there. And is there any other ones you want me to address right now? The remainder, yes, the comments were clear. We can get notes on our site plan showing compliance as far as glazing, recess windows, you know, all of those things. We'll add notes to, and make it very clear how we're achieving that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Anthony, let me ask you one question on the windows being recessed 2 inches or have a 2-inch casing. Is that something that you can comply with? I think there's an allowance for affordable housing. Well, I know there is. Affordable housing does not have to meet that particular requirement. It's preferred, but it's...
I think I have the architect on the call and he may be able to answer that better, but I know that we have a detail for being able to comply with that. I'm not 100% sure with this project specifically, but I'm pretty sure the intention is just to meet the two inch recess. But Chris has jumped on. We can't hear you, Chris.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Great. Just to speak to it really quick, it is a construction detail that we can meet and we have in the past and we plan to on this one as well. So we'll add some language.
I just wanted to be clear that that wasn't a requirement for affordable housing. So.
Thank you.
It still is preferred. And
hey, Jolene.
Yes.
I think Shahab may jump on the meeting real quick.
Okay.
He has some points to mention on the site needing to be platted or not.
Okay.
So definitely he will jump on in a few or in a minute.
Okay. And while we're waiting for Shahab, there's, I guess there's a few issues with water and then there's, you know, a fair amount of landscaping issues or whatever. It's up to you as the applicant team, if you would like to meet in this meeting again with the DFT, or if you would just like to resolve your remaining issues outside this meeting, it's your choice.
Yeah, I've gone through them pretty thoroughly and I do not see anything that's going to be an issue for us. I'd prefer if we can just, if I can work with the reviewers independently and resolve the comments.
Yes, certainly. So, okay. Yeah. And I think in terms of the facade, I think it's just a matter of going through the requirements and showing how you meet them. I didn't generally notice there was anything that stood out that you wouldn't meet them, but you just hadn't.
Yeah, typically we had the notes with the appropriate section referenced. And I noticed in a couple of instances, we need to add some of those in there to make that clear.
Okay. And then, Ernest, if you want to just articulate how, if the central sidewalk is being rebuilt, how that's being done outside of an infrastructure list.
That's going to be in a sidewalk easement. It's actually on our property.
Oh, okay.
So I think that's what mitigates the need for the infrastructure list.
Okay. So Shahab, we're ready for you to discuss the any issues related to platting of the property. And you're on mute.
Has transportation already provided their comments?
Yes.
Okay, so did the replatting talked about since the sidewalk is inside the private property?
We were just barely talking about that now. So
okay.
Yes, the plan is to provide a sidewalk easement for that since it's on the private property.
Okay. So I don't know if you've noticed, there's a bunch of existing utilities out there that are not shown on the plan. There's also a bus stop as well. So how is the sidewalk going to work around the site, the bus stop and the existing utilities?
The existing utilities being on our property?
Well, they are like at the southwest corner, there's like utility boxes. So your entrance and your ramp. So I don't know how that's going to all tie in as far as handicap accessibility is concerned, because you're supposed to have a 5x5 pad as you turn around and tie into existing sidewalks. There are existing utilities there. So we're going to probably need to look at all that stuff and make sure your sidewalk and other utilities will work. We just want to make sure if you're going to provide easement, you know, we get all the easements that we need as you go, you know, you route your sidewalk around all those existing utilities. And then the other thing that I had, the easterly entrance, I don't know if transportation had any comments about that. If we could narrow that down and bring the nose in so people will not make a right turn into it, because that's an exit only, right? Is that going to be gated?
Yes, it's gated. Yes, it's exit only.
Okay.
And yeah, we did work through this design with transportation early on with the TCL.
Okay.
And Shahab, I'll note that too, that we worked with the fire marshal regarding that. I don't think we can narrow the width of it to and still meet the fire marshal's requirements, but so maybe that radius can be shrunk to you know, a 2 foot radius or a 1 foot radius for the face.
No, that should be fine if it's exit only, as in gated, so people will not make a right turn in there. That's fine. I mean, at least as long as it's gated. It's an exit only. Okay. And yeah, those were the easement would work fine. We just need to look at those existing utilities and make sure your sidewalk and ADA will work. And, you know, like the bus bay, and there's like light poles, bus bay, all that stuff that is not shown on the, not the bus bay, but the bus stop there that are not kind of shown on the plans.
Shahab?
Yes.
I was just looking at the aerial and it looks like the bus stop is actually to the property just west of this.
Oh, is it?
And I will note the as far as the existing utilities, there's existing water meters for the site that will be removed as requirement by the water authority. And, you know, existing dry utility boxes that were feeding the existing property will be removed as well. That proposed sidewalk is located just north of those existing light poles.
Okay.
So it's not within those existing light poles. Yeah.
Then also there is like the existing entrance. Maybe I was looking at the wrong property. So the existing entrance, are the existing entrances to this property that needs to be closed off and new ones are put in?
Yeah, they're being shifted just slightly and reconfigured with the proper radius.
Okay, so good. Okay. Yeah. All right, got it. So I think I might have been looking at the wrong piece on Central, maybe the one next to it. So this boss, I thought it was in front of the...
Yeah, that's the property directly to the west of us. Under construction right now.
Oh,
yeah.
God, that's the one. Oh, okay, shoot. Because they said it was an existing mobile home. I thought that was the property. Okay, got it. Yep. No, we should be fine. Yeah, the easement will be just fine for the sidewalk. That's all I have. Thanks.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, and Anthony, just keeping diligent about working with staff to get the final comments done and sign off so things don't lag at all.
Absolutely. We'll get it to them as soon as possible. Thank you.
Great. Looks like another great project. You're filling up Central.
Yes.
Housing. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Fun projects. Thank you all for the review.
Right. Perfect. We're going to move to item 2, PR 2022-7151. This is also a site plan for action. at 1904 Belma Avenue Northeast. And let me see who's representing this project today. If you could raise your hand so I know. Mr. Anderson, thank you. Go ahead and unmute if you'd like to give any opening comments. Please do.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Great. Well, hello, everybody. Excited to be here. This is a continuation of the redevelopment of the Greater Sawmill District. We were before the DRB a little over a year ago for a planned hotel on the north side of Belma. And this is the next phase of planned development, and we're excited to hear your comments.
Thank you. Water Authority.
Yeah, this is David at the Water Authority. The site has an existing availability statement. Everything's routine connection to existing infrastructure. I provided some notes that if you can add them to your utility plan, please. This can go through a connection permit. Add a note on there. I don't know if I added that note or not for private fire hydrants to be painted safety orange. And then you're proposing a 3-inch meter, so we'll need an easement for that. I didn't put the easement requirements on here, but that's a 35-by-35-foot easement. And then I have a note stating the fire hydrant on Belma should be public, not private. So if you have questions on those, let me know.
Thank you.
Code enforcement.
Yes, this is Jeff Palmer with Code Enforcement. The property is owned NRLM as per the current AGI AGIS information, but the submittal indicates it will be rezoned to MXH prior to development. It is also located within the CPO 12 Sawmill Wells Park overlay zone, must meet dimensional and development standards as per the MXH zone and or CPO 12 as applicable. Please update us on the status of the zone change, if you have more information on that. Parking, need to show how the required parking was calculated as per IDO table 551, off-street parking, and table 555, bicycle parking. Also, please break down the parking requirements as per retail or restaurant space and for all non-transient guest rooms. I was also asking if you could maybe elaborate a little bit on your non-transient guest rooms and confirm if these are apartments or if they're extended stay hotel rooms. That's all the comments I have, and the two questions, just asking for some update on the status of the zone change and how you define non-transient guest rooms.
Sure. So to the non-transient guest rooms question, this is anticipated to be a serviced apartment that is serviced by the nearby Hotel Chaco. So it is a hotel in the way that it operates.
Okay, are there kitchens in them or in those rooms, or do they have kitchens?
Some of the units do have kitchens.
Kitchens, but they basically serve as so for lack of a better term, and it perhaps extended stay is not correct, but that would be what might be considered an extended stay hotel room.
Correct.
Where someone might live for 6 months or 1 month or whatever.
Okay. There's seemingly a lot of demand for that, and currently the existing hotel doesn't provide that service.
Okay. All right, thank you. Do you have any updates on where we're at on that zone change?
I'd have to get back to you on that, but happy to contact you directly.
Okay. Well, and that's okay. It just, you know what, the main thing is you'll just have to make sure that's in place before you move further ahead on this, because everything hinges on that.
Sure.
Bonnie, do you want to speak to that? Because I think you found the documentation of the zone change in your review.
Yes. I found that there was documentation. Let's see. There is a notice of decision that was provided in the sketch plot that was heard on June 7th, stating the zone change.
And it shows an approval date of July 21st, 2022. That's what I see in the notes.
Yes.
So it wouldn't hurt, Mr. Anderson, just to submit that with any resubmittal you're doing, just to show that it's on file for this. Bonnie found it in your sketch plot submittal, yeah. But it would probably just, you know, that way Jeff has access to it and all. But it does look like they did receive their zone change on July
21st. Yeah, I couldn't remember the dates. So yeah. Thanks, Bonnie.
And you may want to contact Aegis to get that corrected on the city records as well.
Okay, yeah, Bunny, okay. I'll make a note of that and we'll. Let's go to Parks and Rec. Let's see if Whitney's mic is working now. Whitney, are you there?
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Beautiful. Okay. So my comments were sort of just some commentary. I did send this site plan off to our Metropolitan Redevelopment Agency, which is sort of leading the rail trail effort. And there's a couple of points in the IDO where it's recommended that for access and connectivity that any pedestrian walkways or sites that have or that contain, I think it's a lot that has, if there's multiple parcels in a lot or multiple lots or a property of a certain size, that it's recommended. And sorry, I have this written down. I just don't have that one open right this second. But it's recommended that you work to coordinate an access point with Parks and Recreation. And then very recently, there was a public outreach facilitated meeting with neighborhoods in the downtown area related to a mapped small area for the rail trail. And one of the items that is likely going to be included in the IDO update would be requiring that any properties that have sort of rail trail frontage be required to coordinate an access. And this isn't like the typical accesses that we might ask for in a subdivision. It would just be a point where some sort of pedestrian pathway makes its way to the edge, and then whatever you're building along that edge, that there would be an opening or a gate that you could lock. So it wouldn't have to be a permanently public access easement, but something that could be kept private and open and closed at the property owner's you know, desire. And so that's just to try to activate the trail. Because the more
respond to this one, if you would like. Sorry, hi, I'm Lana Idris. I'm a landscape architect with MRWM, who is formerly planned. And so we're actually working on the rail trail project. So I can speak to that connection a bit. And so the idea for our project on, if you're looking on the eastern end, which is facing on the uppermost point of this plan, mm-hmm. we have all these pockets that are connecting in from the rail trail. And then the idea is on the south side that we're going to have these large plaza areas that are going to basically be an opening to the rail trail that can connect to all of these different gathering areas in the center.
That's what it looked like. I just wanted to sort of verify and make sure that the opportunity, you know, was
absolutely
being considered. So I'm happy
definitely. It's a great amenity for this multi-use building. So right. We definitely want to connect to it.
Okay, well, that's the only comment that I had, so thank you.
Okay, and now we'll go to hydrology and transportation with Ernest Armijo.
Ernest Armijo, hydrology and transportation. For hydrology, hydrology has an approved conceptual grading and drainage plan with engineer stamp date of October 18, 2022. Hydrology has no objection to the site plan, but please note, during a recent DMD project on 20th and Street and Bellama, drainage report was done for this area. The current downstream storm pipe system is at capacity. So this project and any future developments in this watershed will have to provide for the 100-year, 10-day volume retention on within the development. Prior to submitting for building permit, please ensure that the grading and drainage plan includes this. Any questions before I move on to transportation?
No questions.
Okay. So transportation has an approved TCL dated 5/25/2023. We have no objection.
Okay. Let's go to planning comments with Bonnie. Oh, let's stop and go to Shahab, the city engineer.
How you doing? This is Shahab. Can we bring up the site plan real quick? Okay, that'll work. Thank you. Is there a utility easement, PU easement along 20th Street? Because it seems like your building is on top of that easement, partially. There's a dash easement that runs along 20th Street, and I'm assuming that's a utility easement. Typically, there's a 10-foot utility easement along your property. And I don't know if that thing turns and it's also along Bellama. So you might want to double check that. Then also the rail spurs, they're going to stay, right? They're not moving.
Meaning if the actual rails themselves will be removed?
They'll be removed? Okay. Okay. I wasn't sure if they...
On the subject property, yeah.
Okay, I wasn't sure if you were allowed to remove them or not, but okay. So there's not an easement for them right now currently on the property?
Not on the subject property.
Okay, it's just the actual physical spurs are there, but okay. And that's all I had. I just wanted to make sure because it seems like that easement turns and goes along Bellama. So you may want to look at that. Yeah, you're building along that whole stretch is on top of the easement.
Yeah, we'll look at that. Thank you.
All right, that's all I had. Thank you.
Okay, go ahead, Bonnie, for planning.
Hi, this is Bonnie with planning. I have lots of comments in here, but I'm just going to go over some of the stuff we maybe need some more clarification on. First off, the subject property was previously reviewed as sketch plat on June 7th, 2023, and a plat application for the subject property will be heard by the development hearing officer on October 25th. Thank you for clarifying the non-transient guest rooms. That was very helpful. Appendix number one, TCL approval. A conceptually approved grading and drainage plan was provided instead of an approved TCL, and I think it would be helpful to see that TCL in the submittal package. For facade design, 34M5D. Facade design and mixed use and non-residential zone districts. If you could provide calculations for your west elevation and north elevation, for the 25% or more surface and transparent windows and or doors. That one was a little bit unclear. And then per 5.3D, on-site pedestrian connections and network of pedestrian walkways, the width of the walkways surrounding the building actually are dependent on the building's overall footprint, which I couldn't find in any of these files, but if you could please provide that, that would be very helpful. And then also reference table 5.3.1 in the IDO. In some cases, that table requires wider walkways, and I think this property may be subject to that. And then, again, still on IDO 5.3.D, on-site pedestrian connections.
Okay.
Subsection 3, shade trees along pedestrian walkways are required. Shade trees planted approximately 25 feet on center are required along all pedestrian walkways. And I'm not sure if that's occurring everywhere on the site. If you could provide.
So I can speak to that, Bonnie. Hi. So that's kind of been a tricky thing with this one, because we're also working coinciding with the sawmill streetscape that's happening and being built around the same time as this building. And so that one is overlapping some of the right-of-way and is including a lot of those street trees. And so we didn't want to duplicate work. So I don't know if maybe I need to overlay and show those street trees happening along Bellama as well as 20th when that work goes in, so that it's a little clearer. And maybe yes. I can reference that project number.
Okay. That would be great. Because actually a lot of my comments relate to required street trees and required landscape.
Okay. I'll reference that so it's clearer. And we have those drawings, so I can overlay them in.
Excellent. And Lana, you have these comments as well, correct?
I did. I just got them this morning, so I'll look through those and I reach out to you if I have any other questions as well.
Okay, that would be great. I think that should solve a lot of or clarify a lot of questions that were brought up in these comments.
Okay.
For parking calculations, please provide detailed parking calculations to show parking requirements are being met. Calculations provided on site plan are not sufficient. And I left some detailed information. We're looking for restaurant spaces based on square footage, hotel. Requirements vary based on how many beds are in a room, and general retail parking requirements would be helpful based on square footage. Also, I noticed electric vehicle spaces are being shown, and there can be a parking reduction for the EV stalls. So if we could have more information on that, that would be helpful. Additionally, per table, sorry, what was that?
I said, yeah, we can definitely add that.
Okay, great. And then also additionally per table 5.5.5 minimum bicycle parking requirements for hotel or motel, two spaces plus one space per 6,000 square feet, gross floor area of conference, restaurant, bar and banquet space. So this one's kind of tricky, but if you could provide square footages roughly for those and how much bicycle parking is required and provided. Per IDO 5.5.G parking structure design, it looks like the entire parking structure is interior to the building, which is great. If you could just reference how crime prevention through environmental design principles are being utilized, they can be general notes.
Sure.
Again, dimensions on exterior elevations. I didn't notice any loading zones, but one an off-street loading space per 50,000 square feet, ground floor, gross floor area is required. I did make a note here on the landscape plan. There are two ash trees being shown. Ash trees are being a little bit overused at the moment. And so planning staff is recommending replacing one of those ash trees with something like a honey locust, a hackberry, a box elder. I left a list of options. If you have any questions, please reach out, Lana.
Sure. There's two elm trees, not ash, but we can replace one of them.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. Yeah, the ash trees are struggling lately, but I can definitely replace one of them with a different variety.
That would be wonderful. Thank you.
Yep.
And then also the tree detail, if you could update that to show the 5-foot radius bark mulch around the tree trunk. There was a, let's see.
I had a question about that detail. If like the owner didn't want to see the bark mulch, could we have the ring but have a gravel so it looks seamless above it around the trees, or does it have to show the bark mulch?
Our requirements require the bark mulch.
Okay.
I understand a lot of property owners have been not a huge fan of that lately. I'm working on trying to find some solutions for that right now, but we haven't come up with anything quite yet.
Okay.
So that is the requirement as it stands at the moment.
Okay.
And then there was also a note in here, which I can't seem to find now, that references, I think only 70. Yeah, here we go. Gravel is limited to a maximum of 75% of the landscape area. So that's another requirement that can coincide with the bark mulch requirement. You can probably reach 75% if you have those bark mulch rings in there.
Okay.
But just, yeah, do an exhibit and see if it works and provide the calculation.
Okay.
And I think the requirement is organic mulch, right?
It is. That's correct.
Necessarily has to be bark mulch, but organic mulch.
Right. And then also per 5.5C10 planting near utilities, I was trying to cross-reference the utility plan and the landscape plan, and it appears to me that there's trees and shrubs planted within the utility easements. I know this is a pretty tough site, but we can't have trees, at least in the utility easement, and I know that water utility doesn't like any landscaping in the utility easements. So look into that. Per IDO 5.6C13 stormwater management features, this requirement might help with downstream stormwater runoff maybe a little bit for hydrology's requirement. But if some of these landscape areas could serve as stormwater runoff collection areas, that would be ideal. And then again, going back to the street trees, I noticed there are street trees along 20th Street. Are those to remain with the streetscape redevelopment, or are they?
We are going to try to preserve as much of those as possible because they're established and they're great. The only ones that might change is where we're creating a raised table on 20th Street. A few of those might go.
Okay. Yeah. If you could just show which ones are proposed to remain and which are being demoed.
You know, none of them on our side are on this parcel. None of those trees will remain. Those will all be new. But the ones that are around Hotel Chaco and west of that on Bellama, those will all remain.
Okay. So are street trees being provided on the east side of 20th Street?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. If you could just show those, that would be helpful.
Okay.
And just for future on irrigation, signage, and lighting, confirm that those are in compliance with the IDO. We have one more section in here, 511E3, outdoor seating and gathering areas. I'm going to start somewhere else. Each primary building containing more than 30,000 square feet of gross floor area shall provide at least one outdoor seating and gathering area for every 30,000 square feet of building gross area. If you could show requirement, I saw that there's a courtyard and a pool included in this plan, and we've seen this in the past. If you could include that on a separate sheet, that could count towards gathering areas. The required seating and gathering area should be linked to the primary entrance of the building. So actually that area will not, the courtyard area will not.
We have a plaza on that lower right side that we can simply add a note and indicate as outdoor seating.
Okay. And then also please provide pictures of sign postings. I saw that the sign posting agreement, proof of emailed notice to Sawmill Neighborhood Association was provided. But if we could be provided with pictures of sign postings. And no further comments from planning. If you have any questions, please reach out. I know there's a bit in there.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I have a couple of things. You have a plat application, correct, for this property that is associated with correct. This site plan? Okay. And that unfortunately needed to be deferred, but that's going to be heard on October 25th. And that plat will need to be finalized before your site plan is signed off on. You can still get, they can be running concurrent. You can get the site plan actually approved, but it would have a condition for the final plat to be signed off before the site plan is finished being signed off. And you definitely did post the property, correct?
We did, yeah.
Okay. I don't think, Ben, you were associated with, there's another hotel being developed sort of catty corner from you. And the neighborhood was quite concerned about traffic bleeding into their neighborhood areas because there's so much robust development and activity, and we all like to go to the sawmill. So I'm just wondering, have there been any efforts to work with the neighborhood on traffic mitigation? That's something we emphasized to the last group, and I'm not sure if that included you all. Is this news to you, or?
It's not news. We're certainly aware of it. Ownership has a great relationship with neighborhood associations and continues to work with them on how to mitigate those concerns. One of the reasons we have a fully enclosed parking structure is to kind of clarify where future guests and or customers should be parking to avoid impacts to the street. And the same, actually, I was the applicant or the architect for the hotel at that just north of Hotel Chaco on the north side of Bellama. And that was a similar concern. And we were, in fact, overparking the site for that reason.
Okay. All right. Thank you. And if you have any updates on that when we go into the planning phase, that would be helpful. So
sure.
I think that's all. It's a great looking building. We're excited to have more like that. Bonnie didn't emphasize, but you did a great work on your climatic and geographic responsive design elements and showing us how many of those things were being achieved on this property. And we really appreciate the example of all that to our community. So Great sure, project. Okay. So thank you very much. And once again, I'm just going to ask you, do you prefer to just handle all remaining comments outside of a DFT meeting where everyone's gathered in one place? Or would you like to come back to the next DFT meeting to go through any outstanding issues?
I think we'll try to work directly with each department. The comments are fairly straightforward. I don't see any major issues. So just to save everybody a little bit of time, just try to work directly.
Okay. All right. Thank you. And good luck getting across the finish line. So
thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay. Now we're going to move to item 3 on the agenda. This is also a site plan for action. It's PR 2022-7645 at 7401 Los Volcanes. And who's here representing this? Daniel?
Yeah, good morning. I'm Daniel Puzak, the architect representing the project. This is a cannabis cultivation warehouse on an existing property owned by the same ownership.
Okay, thank you. Let me ask you one question at the outset. So since this is a site plan, can you clarify, is the site plan just for this building 1 of 23,924 square feet? Is it including raised flooring? Is it including the future building in the back? We just need to clarify, what is this site plan exactly covering?
This site plan is for the phase 1 building. Raised flooring is the existing building to the south. This is a site plan for building permit for the phase 1 building. The future phase is just shown on there as potential for what could happen on the site.
Okay. And we might need to have clarification on your site plan sheet that shows that, you know, raised flooring is not a part and the future building is not a part of this site plan approval. Just to make that super clear.
Okay.
I kind of thought that's where you were heading, but I wanted to make that clear for everyone reviewing.
Okay.
Okay. Let's go ahead and jump to Water Authority.
Yeah, this is, excuse me. This is David with the Water Authority. Currently, there was no submittal for utility plan, so we'll need to see that before moving forward. There is an availability statement that provided conditions for subdivision, and I believe this site as well, that required infrastructure. So we'll need I don't know if that's planned to be built before this is approved, or we need to have an infrastructure list tied to this. But I think there's an infrastructure list tied to the plan, the plat. Yeah. So I'm not sure how we'll go forward with that, but the same requirements will be necessary before this is approved. I'm thinking so, because we don't have infrastructure to serve you at the moment, so that needs to either be in place or guaranteed. So
I went and looked this up, David, because I was curious as well. This is what the infrastructure list is that was approved with the plot creating this parcel.
Right. So both of these require the same infrastructure, so that water and sewer has to be there before we can approve any site plans. So it's a difficult situation to be in, but I mean, we need it for the site plan. That's the main reason this infrastructure is required, but the plat also initiated the requirements. So I'm not sure how we would work that out, but I think it's is it the same developer, I guess, that owns both?
It is the same ownership that owns all the property there.
Okay, so I don't know if we can.
Yeah, so they're required to do this for their site plan as well. It's just the infrastructure is being tied to the plat.
The plat. Okay.
Let's see, is Shahab here?
I can grab Shahab. He's in another meeting, but he said he's on standby.
Yeah, that's okay, because these are mainly, we've got a concrete sidewalk, that's transportations. These other items are Water Authorities. So
Ernest, maybe you can kind of just describe how this works, because you know.
Okay, I was quickly looking at email, so I didn't hear the question. Oh, this is based on.
So the infrastructure is tied to the plat and it has been approved. So I would assume it's being financially guaranteed. And yes. So it can be on a, just explain how it can be on its track while the site plan is being approved for this one parcel within that platted area.
Okay. So yeah, it's like, since this is tied to the plat, that can go on its own, whereas for the site plan, especially since the site plan itself does not front the street, it's set back. That we will handle separately as it goes through its approvals, since it won't actually have any infrastructure on its own.
So they'll have to complete all their platting requirements before they can, you know, have their building permit become final.
Correct. That works. It's just when we have different developers, I think that's when it confuses things, but I think we're yeah. Okay.
I think this is all owned by Raised Flooring.
That is correct. And it's, we do have a final recorded plat.
Okay. So yeah. And just a note that, you know, you won't get service until that infrastructure is built. So,
sure.
Just, yeah, I guess my only comment would be is just to please provide a utility plan.
That's I apologize. We do have that. It's, just didn't get it into the package.
Yeah. I thought you did when you submit the plat. I saw it. I was like, I thought they had.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Just submit that and I think we'll be okay.
Okay. Sounds good.
Appreciate it.
Okay, let's go to code enforcement.
This is Jeff Palmer with code enforcement. Of course, this property is zoned NRBP, is located in an area of change within the Atrisco Business Park. The trash enclosure wall must incorporate at least one of the primary materials and colors of the nearest wall of the primary building, excluding exposed CMU block as per IDO 56G3E screening. Currently, it's shown as an exposed CMU block wall. So that just needs to be corrected. Also, the trash enclosure encroaches into the north lot. Need to file the access agreement with the north lot as noted on AS101 TCL page to be able to utilize that. That's all the comments I have at this time.
Yeah, we can definitely match up the materials on the enclosure. We do have a dumpster easement agreement in the packet.
Okay, I didn't see that.
Okay, so yeah, that's there.
Now, I saw there were some easements, but nothing that specifically called out. It was access easements, but nothing specifically called out that encroachment of, and use of the dumpster. So just if that's not in there clearly, then if you could make that a little more clear or make a note to that effect, that would be helpful.
Okay.
Thank you. Parks and Recreation. Whitney, are you available? Okay, remind me, we'll come back. Mr. Armijo is doing hydrology and transportation.
Ernest Armijo, hydrology and transportation. For hydrology, has an approved grading and drainage plan with an engineer stamp date of August 1st, 2023. Hydrology has no objection to the site plan. For transportation, has an approved TCL dated August 24th, 2023. We have no objection.
Okay, let's go to planning comments. Robert?
Good morning, this is Robert Webb with planning. Site plan being reviewed to the standards and provisions of the Atrisco Business Park Master Development Plan and the standards within the IDO and the DPM, where the governing site plan is silent and it's currently zoned NRBP. A majority of my comments were clarification items. So I can go over a few of those now. If you have questions, happy to discuss, and then we can also go through them in detail offline.
Okay.
The first one, I believe you'd already mentioned, we were just clarifying how the phasing was going to work. I wasn't clear on if we were reviewing both phase one and phase two in this site plan, or if it was just the phase one building. So I didn't want to review it for you guys incorrectly and not provide enough information for you.
Sure. Thank you.
Some of the plan also included language of proposed property line. I think that was already completed with the platting action, and it was just probably the note was still in there. But I just wanted to make sure I was looking at it correctly in that respect as well. I didn't think there was another platting action proposed, but just wanted to make sure.
No, that is just the way that they got submitted. We were running out simultaneously. So I can probably just take that language off of there.
Okay. Sounds good. For the IDO, the wholesale distribution, cannabis cultivation, cannabis product manufacturing, and also warehousing, they have their own use-specific standards and their own definition. And the definition can sometimes be slightly different than, kind of real-world definition compared to zoning definition. So we just wanted to make sure that and clarify of how this one is called out as far as each use, and how you're meeting those use specific standards, because that'll definitely come up during the building permit. So that way you don't have to go back and forth under several reviews. If that's clarified up front, it'll speed things up for you.
Okay.
And I think if you're already not completed, I think you were already working on the cannabis approvals for the state of New Mexico and with code enforcement.
That's correct. The only thing we're awaiting is the city retail license.
Okay. And let's see here. So the building height measurement, I think, is fine. Just wanted to clarify what the highest point was going to be. A lot of that had to do with, I wasn't sure if it was both buildings or one there. So that's no problem, because there's, depending on where the building is and with the measurement to the property line, there could be some limits there. And with both the shared parking agreement and the infrastructure list, none of those are changing, or are they being modified at all?
None of those are changing. Those are already recorded.
Okay. Sounds good. Just wanted to make sure. And in addition to the calculations that you provided, if you could both explain and demonstrate on the plan set, whether that be notes on the site plan or a separate note section along with like a comment response letter, of kind of how it's meeting the called out requirements of the Atrisco Business Park and in certain sections of the IDO. So I've listed some there that are kind of called out, so that way it's easy to identify on the site plan, and especially with building permit. So we can go through those if you have any questions later on.
Okay. Yeah, I think we can put that onto the site plan.
Okay. And let's see, the signposting that was submitted, I think, was the signposting for the platting action, because it was dated back in March or April. I'm not looking at it right now, but I didn't know if there was another one done for the site plan itself.
No, that was for the building permit. We just this has been taking on quite a while. Okay.
Let's look at what the requirement is, Robert. Because if this is for just the 24,000 square foot area.
Yeah.
And the infrastructure is tied to the plat, then it probably, let me check. Oh, the posted sign is required. The email notice, I don't think would be required. Let me just check. There's so many.
Yeah, with some of our site plan admin, now that we know it's just the one building, I was not clear of which one they need to do, if they need to do anything additional.
I think you need to do the emailed notice to the neighborhood and the posting, but you don't have to do a pre-neighborhood meeting.
And I believe they did do the email response to the neighborhood, just not a new signposting.
that did one for the plat, and they did one that was in really related to the building permit.
That's correct.
Okay.
I'm sorry, what was related to the building permit?
They had the smaller blue sign posted for the building permit, and then they had a previous sign posting for the platting action, but nothing for the site plan review as of yet.
Okay, so this actually is has been submitted as a site plan DFT, and we will be approving the site plan since that's how this has been applied for. Can you go ahead and get a sign up, one of the site plan DFT signs, and Robert can give you that instruction.
Yeah, you can read it in our office. We can get you going with another one.
Yeah, just to make sure that you're covering all the bases and there's no question later on if there was any appeal or anything that you because technically you'd need that since you applied for a site plan DFT, you need that yellow sign that comes from us, not just the building
permit. Okay.
So
okay.
It'll probably be slightly overkill, but it's better to have all your bases covered in case anything comes up later.
Okay. Yeah, I can come by for that.
And then the rest was just some of our standard comments. That make sure to add the DFT signature block. We can give you the link for that if you need. Adding the project and application numbers to the site plan. And then the final version, make sure that all plan sheets are sealed and signed by a design professional licensed in the state of New Mexico. And same with the landscape architect licensed in the state of New Mexico. And
okay.
Just let us know as you're going through them if you have any other questions.
I think on yours, they were pretty straightforward. I didn't really have anything additional.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you, Robert.
Okay, so Daniel, would you prefer to work on all these remaining matters outside of an additional conference like this with the DFT gathered? That would be in a couple weeks.
I think
either way.
No, that works fine for us. We can work outside.
Okay. Yeah. And just make sure you keep on that because every week we get a whole onslaught of new cases. So you kind of have to keep yourself front and center.
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. And let's go ahead and go to item number 4, PR 2019-. Whitney, I don't think we ever got you on this one. Ms. Phelan, are you there?
You didn't have any comments on
that. You didn't have any comments. Okay.
No, on the.
I didn't presume there likely would be money for that. So, okay. Thank you very much, Daniel.
Okay. Thank you.
Item 4 is